Galatians chapter 14, we've come to a time in this passage of Scripture when the wrath of God is fixing to be poured out upon the face of the earth. The tribulation period is now coming to an end that deals in that with the nation of Israel, but it's going to in that involve the whole world. And in verse 12, let's look in verse 12, the Bible said, "Here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You can be seated this morning. As we look in this passage of Scripture right here, and the Bible talks about in verse 12 the patience of the saints as they have come through the tribulation period, and they've been faithful and that to the Lord Jesus Christ through that time. And by the way, during that time, those that are going to be kept during the tribulation period, they're going to have to be faithful to the end. Matthew chapter 24 tells us, as we looked a little bit on Wednesday night here lately, in rightly dividing the Scripture, that they're going to have to remain faithful. The Bible says, those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But there are going to be some folk that are faithful during that time. But it talks about down here in verse 12 or verse 13. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, arise, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." That's a good way to die. Amen. That's a good way to die. Die in the Lord. Amen. Wouldn't want to die out of the Lord. Amen. I want to know that I'm saved this morning and die in Him. But it said right here, it said, "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their laborers." So they were workers when they were here on the face of the earth, and that for the Lord, and their works do follow them. I want to preach a message out of the last part of that chapter right there on what will you leave behind. Now, I preached probably two or three times over the past 20 years and that on what kind of legacy are you going to leave. But I just want to simply preach on what are you going to leave behind. Hey, listen, when you leave here, and by the way, we're all leaving here, whether you want to believe that or whether you want to think that or whether you want that into your memory or your mind bank, you better get a hold of the fact that you're leaving here. Amen. You may not have a long life to live, and if you've lived long, you ought to thank God for it, amen, and you ought to be spending every waking moment that we all can in that to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, the older I get, and I try not to be morbid thinking, but friend, I see it every week, and I know Sister Margie does at the nursing home. Listen, I face death from time to time, maybe two or three times a month, whether I'm preaching funerals or you just get phone calls. And I think you face it too in your life, that you know death is going to come. What was it in the book of Hebrews chapter 9? As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So we know that we're going to die. You need to understand that. And you need to understand that you are not going to take anything with you when you go. Hey, what you have, you're going to leave here. Amen. Hey, what was it that Job said in Job chapter 1? Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The book of Ecclesiastes said, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor. You're not going to take anything with you. Amen. When you leave here. It's all going to be left here. Right. Now, I believe that we can send some things over. Amen. Ahead of time, the Bible talks about in the book of Matthew chapter 6 that our treasure is over in heaven. Amen. But listen, when it comes to the end of our life and this thing gets done, did you know that we can't go back and undo things that we've done? And we can't go back and do things that we should have done and lived a better life than what we've lived or had a better testimony than what we've had of Him. Hey, we're living it right now while we have the opportunity. And the Bible said right here in verse 13 that those that left out of here during that time, that they're going to rest from their laborers. So they worked and their works do follow them. So this morning, if you want to think of it as what's going to follow you once you leave. Now listen, there's some things that I don't want to follow me. Now quickly this morning, by way of introduction, I'm going to be fast. I've got a lot to say. So as I like to say, I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast. Listen this morning, there's some things I don't want to leave behind when I leave out of here. First of all, I don't want to leave behind the question of my salvation. Yeah. I don't want to leave behind the question of my eternity. At least I don't want my loved ones, when they stand at the front of that casket, and that to wonder where I'm spending eternity at. I want them to know, that I know that there was a night that I had accepted Jesus as my Savior. That I'd come to Him as a 14-year-old boy. I'd asked Him to save me, and He come into my heart, and I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved.
Yeah.
Hey, your family ought to know that today. Right. Hey, folk around you ought to know that. Hey, I've stood behind pulpits and stood at the head of caskets and preached funerals that I had no idea where they were at.
Right.
Had no idea. There was a time period there, maybe about 8 or 10 years ago, that I seemed to be the preacher to call for a little while, maybe for a year or two, that when nobody had a preacher, they called me. And I went and done a lot of funerals that way. A folk that I didn't even really know. Maybe they had been associated with somebody that knew us, or they had come to the church one time. Hey, I remember preaching a funeral one time of a young lady that had been to the church one time and one time only. And friend, I still can't tell you today where she's at in eternity. And you better know, and you better tell it. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason, the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I ain't got to worry about that, preacher, for a long time. You don't know that. I don't know that. I'd like to think that I'm just 42 years old. I'd like to think that I live for another 42 years at least, but I don't know that.
Amen.
I may be in a car wreck before we get to the end of the down here to the red light and may die and leave out of here, may have a heart attack. Hey, who knows what's going to happen? You don't know. See, that's the thing about life. It is oh so fragile.
That's right.
But I don't want to leave behind a question of my eternity. How about you this morning? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Number two, in the way of introduction, I don't want to leave behind a bad testimony. Do you want to leave behind? I don't want to leave behind a bad testimony. Listen, when the Bible talks about, in the book of 2 Timothy over there, the Apostle Paul talks about Demas. And here's what he said. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me." You can look back and you can look. There's 3 or 4 other verses that talks about Demas when he was serving with Paul, when he was working with Paul, when he saluted all those other churches. But what we remember about Demas in 2 Timothy is that he deserted Paul. Having loved this present world is what he's saying. So you know what we always remember when we hear the word Demas is he's one that quit on God. Boy, when I leave out of here, I don't want folk to come around and say, "He once was a good preacher. He once was a good Christian. But somewhere along the way, he quit and that serving God. She quit and that serving God." I wouldn't want to hear that. I want my works to follow me all the way to the end. I want to have a good testimony when I leave out of here, that friend, that I didn't quit on God, that I remained faithful to God, that I was always faithful to my wife. Amen. That you were always faithful, and that to your husband. I wouldn't want an act of my testimony to be that he was a gossip or a busybody.
Yeah, come on.
Hello?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want folk to file past where I was laying at in state and say, "Well, he was all right, but man, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. You couldn't tell him nothing, couldn't tell her nothing."
Yeah, come on.
Their works do follow them. I wouldn't want to be accused of, nor to be guilty of. It's one thing to be accused of something. It's another to be guilty of something. But I wouldn't want to be guilty in that of being in sin, period, but still being in sin and still trying to preach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've watched a lot of them do that.
Yeah, come on.
Be in sin and think that God is going to let them get by with some things. I wouldn't want to have any money still sitting in my bank account. When I leave out of here, that should have been God's.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll just be honest with you. If it's new him, I want him to have it. Amen. When I leave out of here, hey, you know why? Because, friend, I'm going to face a lot of that stuff at the judgment seat when we get over yonder. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I want him to have it. The Bible said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
Amen.
Hey, when I leave out of here, I don't want it to be said, that man didn't tithe, he didn't give. Listen, God's blessed me far more than what I can ever imagine. Hey, listen, I owe him. Amen. I owe him. I not only owe him my time, you not only owe him your time, but friend, you owe him your treasure this morning. Amen. You owe him that tithe. Whether you think so or not,
amen,
you still owe it to him. But those are some things that I would want to leave behind. But number one this morning, and what do I want to leave behind? Can I say that first of all, I want to leave behind somebody that's missed. When I leave out of here, I want to be missed. You say, what do you mean you want to be missed, preacher? The Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, when it talks about the wicked. Listen, Solomon did, and he said, and so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. He talked about when the wicked got buried, and when they were wicked in that city, and they buried him over there, that the wicked were forgotten. Listen, you know why we still remember men like Oliver B. Green, and why we still remember men like Brother Roloff and Brother Adrian Rogers? You know why we still remember men like them? Obadiah Holmes. Yeah, some of us don't even know who Obadiah Holmes was. Obadiah Holmes took a whipping up there in the early stage of our country, and that for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our country, they took him out in the middle of the street and they flogged him, and that for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about, hey, you know why we still remember the wicked sometimes? Because the wicked keep bringing up the wicked. But listen, when I leave out of here, I want to be missed. What do you mean you want to be missed? I want folk to miss me, and that because of the fruits that was bore out in my life. I want folks to say, man, he was kind. And he was nice. And boy, he loved people. You know, he was hard to get along with sometimes, but boy, he loved people.
Amen. Come on.
My wife will tell you both of them right there. The Bible talks about in Galatians 5, how about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hey, listen, when I leave, that's what I want folk to remember about me, is I bore that fruit out in my life. I want to be a missed person. Our kind attitude. Don't you want folk to miss your kind attitude? The preacher is awful morbid to talk about, but hey, listen, you got to get this stuff done now while you're living, because once you're dead, it's over with. I got a little nervous studying this message. I thought, Lord, am I leaving? And you, you know, I'll be honest, I sat in there at the study, I thought, mercy, I mean, here we are, but we got to get it done while we have the opportunity.
That's right.
Man, I want to be missed. You know why some folk don't miss others? And I was about to say, you know why some folk won't miss you? You got to be faithful, first of all, to be missed. Amen? That's the truth. No matter how you want to look at it, whether it's faithful in church to be sitting in your pew, or whether it's faithful to be to have love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Hey, listen, that's why folk are going to remember us, is because we were faithful in those things. He said, well, you're wanting folk to remember you instead of remembering Christ. Hey, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Are we not to be an example?
Amen.
What was it that he told Timothy over there? He said, but be an example of the believer, you see. And so when I leave, I would want to think that I had been a great example in that of the believer. But my fruits that I bore out, I want folk to miss that. The light. I would like to think that that my light. Listen, that I'm trying to make a difference. Are you trying to make a difference in your family and in your church and in where you work at? Are you trying to make a difference? I know God will put another light, and put it in your place. I understand that. But hey, I want folk to miss my light when I'm gone. Why? Because I was letting it shine. You know why we're not going to miss some folks' light? They never got it lit. And then some people, their light burns so dim, you ain't never going to miss it. That's a shame. That's a shame. The Bible said in the book of Philippians chapter 2 that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Our power, when we come in late Sunday afternoon, late Sunday evening, last week when we come in, I know that we left two lights on in the house before we left. And when I walked up on the front porch, and when you walk up on our front porch, you can see into our kitchen and down the hallway. And I knew we left that hallway light on. And when I walked up on the front porch, I looked down that hallway and that light was not on. And I was opening the door and I told my wife, I said, I believe the power's off. And you know what? Even though there was a little light outside, it's already getting dark in the house. And before the power ever come back on, it was already dark. But we could take one little flashlight and we could see real good. Now it's amazing what one little light can do in pitch dark. Amen? Listen, you can take the darkest night and strike a match and hold it and you can see. And you know what? That light makes all the difference in the world. People can see it for miles and miles. Well, we won't say miles, but for a great ways out, they can see that light. I actually forget how far it is that you can see one light that's burning. You can see it for a good ways. All I'm trying to tell you is I think we ought to be letting our light shine. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the Lord's on top of the mount over there, and he's given the Beatitudes just right before this. And in Matthew chapter 5, he says in verse 14, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Does not matter whether you're at, whether you're on the job, whether you're at school, whether you're out in public, whether you're at home, let your light shine. Or let your light shine. Your light ought to just be shining all the time. Folk ought not to wonder, if you're a Christian, folk ought not to wonder about somebody. They ought to know because your light's shining. Hey, listen, when I leave out of here, I want to be missed. I want folk to say, hey, he let his light shine. He bore out the fruits in that of a Christian. I want to be somebody that's missed. And then what I want to leave behind, number two, is not only somebody that's missed, but then a saint's influence. As Paul said, as I've already quoted once in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Could we make that statement? Could you tell your children, you follow me as I follow Christ? Could you tell your grandchildren that, you follow me as I follow Christ? Can I tell you all that as being your pastor? I would like to think so. You follow me as I follow Christ. I know we're to follow Christ. I understand that. You got a book and that to follow him by. But what Paul was saying is his testimony. I was so good and so great, and that to follow Christ. Yes, he was human, and yes, he was imperfect, living in a cursed body. Hey, but friend, he said he was willing to spend and be spent, and that for the cause of Christ. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. How about us? Do we have that great of an influence? The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible said in verse 5, but by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. When we leave out of here, as folk will say about our testimony, that we please God. He or she lined up with this book. I mean, listen, now we ought to be like the Lord Jesus. Everything he done was always pleasing to the Father, wasn't it? I mean, I believe we find three times in Scripture that the Lord and that spoke from heaven and He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Are we not sons of God? Are you not sons and daughters of God, made part of the family of God? Hey, could heaven ever open back and say, "This is my son, this is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased"? I'm talking about what we're going to leave behind. The Bible said right here that they rested from their labors, but their works did follow them. Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you'd abound more and more." What have I told you? A lot of people want to live in a way that they want to please the preacher. Your job's not to please me.
Amen.
Your job's to please the Lord.
That's right.
And if you're pleasing the Lord, then it ought to please me. I find a lot of folk do want to please, make the preacher happy, and that's probably a good thing. But friend, I'm telling you, if you're just pleasing God, then it ought to please me. It ought to please the Lord. And I've already talked about this once in how you raise your children. You ought to be pleasing to the Lord. You know, He is watching you moms and dads. Amen. He's giving you instruction all through this word over through here. I mean, in the book of Deuteronomy 6, I heard a good part of a message this morning about how that in Deuteronomy 6, when he talks about taking the word of God and teaching it diligently unto your children. You're to do that. I'm to do that. I'm to teach your children. These Sunday school teachers are to teach your children, but you are to teach your children the word of God. To do it diligently. My wife brought out a good point. The preacher said, "Well, that means enthusiastically. And she said, "No, it don't." And I thought, well, she's right. Diligently does not mean enthusiastically.
That's right.
Diligently means to do it faithfully.
Amen.
But you know what? It would be a whole lot better if you would do it enthusiastically. Do it with some faithfulness, with some fidelity about us, and then do it with some excitement and some enthusiasm in our life. Because if you don't love what you're doing, why would they? If you don't love living for Jesus, why would your children? Man alive, I look at some folk that are saved, and man, they are the worst looking people I've ever seen in my life.
Amen.
I mean, I believe they've been beat down every day of the year, man. I mean, got the mullet grubs all year long. Listen, I know Satan's going to come and he's going to afflict us and affect us, and he is our adversary. Hey, but somewhere along the line, there ought to be some peace and joy and help in our life.
Amen.
Amen. But you ought to be careful about how you raise your children. Raise them pleasing unto the Lord, how you work on the job. Amen. How you faithful in your service unto the Lord. Or to just be pleasing. Everything you ought to do, or to just be pleasing. Everything that we do, we're to look at and apply it and say, "Lord, are you happy with the way that I do this? Are you happy with this right here?" Because you know why? What you're doing now is what you're leaving behind. What you're doing right now is what you're leaving behind. Listen, not only did Enoch have a testimony that he pleased God, but Abraham had a testimony that he believed God. Hebrews chapter 11 said, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." He just believed God. God said, "Go," and Abraham went. Romans 4 said, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." God said, "Get up, I'll show you where you're going when you get there, Abraham." So you know what Abraham done? He got up and he went. Out of the land of the earth, Chaldees, he just took him and his wife and his family, and here they go. I just out going across the countryside. How many of us be willing to do that? Well, we hear folk doing that today, and we think they're crazy sometimes. And sometimes they are, amen. But you know, somewhere along the line, I think God does want us just to take Him by His word and in faith and just go, amen. Just go do it. He may not want you to go high and out across the countryside and move halfway around the world. He just may want you to go down the road a little piece and talk to somebody about Him. Amen. We're always looking for them great big things. And sometimes there is some great big things. But sometimes it's them little things. Mm-hmm. But Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God when God said, get up and go, Abraham. And I'll show you when you get there. Abraham come along for a little piece down the road there. And he got settled in a little piece. And you know what? God come by one day and told him, Abraham, he said, you're going to have a son. And Sarah got in there in the tent and she heard that. And even she laughed. And here's what I found amazing when I began to look at this about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham just asked God over there, said, Lord, how can this thing be? You know, I'm old, and Sarah's old, and we're past that time. But he said, it's going to happen. But I want you to look in Hebrews 11. You ain't got to turn out. I'll read it to you. But here's what the Bible said, talking about Sarah in Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Even though she got in the tent and got behind the back door and laughed in there about what God said, the Bible said that she believed God, that she was faithful and judged Him faithful. Ain't that something? Boy, that's a good testimony. Amen. And that to leave. She just believed God. You ever just seen folk that's went on and they're laying there in that casket? Man, you think, man, right there's somebody that just believed God. I've done that. Walked by, just filed by that casket and looked at them, and I thought, right there somebody just trusted God. I ain't even talking about maybe a preacher. I mean talking about maybe a saintly woman or a saintly man. I mean that just believed God, didn't have a whole lot in this life. We may not have thought as much of his success at things, but they just believed God.
Amen.
Abraham just believed God. God told Abraham, take Isaac up on around Mount Moriah over there and kill him. Even though he was the one that had been promised for the seed and that of the nation of Israel. Hey, you know what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11? That Abraham took him up there. And the Bible said in verse 17, by faith Abraham, there it is. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. You know why Abraham was willing to take Isaac up there and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah? He believed God. He believed that God had made them promises and said, in Isaac is the promise is going to be. And if I take him up there on the mount and sacrifice him, God will raise him from the dead. Well, that's some more faith, ain't it? Some faith to take your own child up there and bind him up and put him on the altar and that you're going to kill him. Is that not what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? Did God the Father not send him? Because that verse went on to say, talking about Isaac, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Reckon who that figure was. He believed God. When we leave out of here, are we going to be leaving behind our faith? Are we going to be leaving behind faith? I look at some men now that I know and some ladies now and say, man, I wish I had their faith. They just believe God. You know, after a while, you know what I've learned in my life? And it's took a little bit to get there. But after a while, I have learned to just believe God. I believe the older we get, and the more we watch Him move, and the more we watch Him work, and the more we see Him do, the more we just believe God. And then we have them days when, man, our faith just becomes so weak. We get like Peter, don't we? Out of all the things that them boys seen the Lord do. You ever think about that? For that 3.5 years that them boys run with the Lord Jesus Christ and was His disciples while He was on the face of the earth, they struggled with faith. They did. Go back there and read in the 4 Gospels. But yet they waited around and that for the day of Pentecost and that received the Holy Spirit and they got boldness from that from on high. I don't believe them fellas really ever had a problem with faith again. Oh, I'm sure they became weak at times, but listen, when we leave out of here, is our work of our faith going to be left behind? The Bible left us a great roll call of faith in Hebrews 11. If we live then, would our name be put on this roll call of faith? Even Rahab the harlot, made it into this roll call. That's what's amazing to me. Is there's folk in here that you would have never thought that might have made it. Even Samson made it into the roll call of faith. People that we thought would have never made it. Talking about leaving behind the saints' influence. In our faith of our testimony and in the pleasing of our testimony. I thought about Timothy's grandmother and mother. In 2 Timothy 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The only time we find those two ladies mentioned, I believe, right here in the Bible, but they got their names mentioned because of their unfeigned faith that they had. What would be said about us? Is it just going to be a marker out there in the graveside somewhere and nobody will never remember nothing that we done? You know why we record everything that we do here at the church? One, we're on the radio. Two, if you want a copy, we'll try our best to get you a copy. Three, I don't want somebody to say that I said when I did not say.
Amen.
But four, see, I didn't used to think of it this way, but you know, there's a time that I'm leaving. And if it's not in the rapture, I want that stuff to still go on.
Amen.
I mean, we've got every tape that was ever made. Hey, in one of the closet in my study, we've got boxes of tape that, and my wife will tell you, that are stacked that high. Thank God for hard drives now. We got them on a little. How many hard drives are we running now, Brother Jeff? Two. And I've got one at the house that we're capturing video on and all this stuff. But listen, we've got between two to three that are about that big and about that thick. And hold them probably just about the same amount as all them tapes are handling, that tall. I think God requires that of us. We've got the ability and the technology to capture all that stuff. I think we're to leave it behind. When I leave out of here, I want to have a good testimony. I do want folk to say he was a good man. I do. I'll be honest with you. I do want folk to say that. I do want folk to say, man, he was faithful, but he had faith. He just believed God. He loved God. She loved God. Number three, when I leave out of here, I want folk to know that the Scripture was my standard that I went by. I mean, did I believe the King James Bible? Not only did I believe it's the Word of God that He left for the English-speaking people, but I believed it so much that I lived by it.
Amen.
I mean, I want folk to say that He delivered that book, He defended that book, He believed that book, He lived that book. That's what He done.
Amen.
That's what she done. It's a book that... Listen, when folk fell by my casket, man, he loved that book and he preached out of it. As I tell you many times, if I say it's this way, you can throw it out. But if I take you to that book and I show you, then you ought to heed to it. That book's all that matters. If you'll ever grasp that, and get that in your heart and in your mind that this book can help you. It'll lead you. It'll guide you. Hey, listen, the Bible said it's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He said at one part, I've hid thy word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I want folk to know, boy, that I believed out of this Scripture, Jesus was the only way to get to heaven. I stood there with a feller Friday over at the nursing home, and I was going around and I was talking to them, and a lot of them that come, I know them, and I've talked to them before about their salvation, but I had some new folk in there Friday. As I come around, I was talking to them, and a lot of times I'll say, you know, especially them ones I know, ain't it good to be going to heaven or something like that? And I come up on one gentleman and I said, do you know you're going to heaven? And he said, no. I said, there's never been a time when you've trusted Jesus to save you. I said, because Jesus is the only way you're going to get to heaven. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think you ought to want to know if you're going to heaven or not.
Amen.
when you leave out of here. I think you need to be concerned with what you're leaving behind, but you need to know in what direction you're headed. That's the most important thing. But listen, as I stood there and talked to that gentleman and even asked him if he wanted to get saved today, he said, no, I don't believe so. I talked to another gentleman over there about going to heaven, and he didn't believe he was going to heaven no how when you died. Me and him had a real interesting conversation. But I'm going to tell you today, when folk file by my casket, I want them to say that that man believed that Jesus was it. He didn't believe in no other way. That there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus. Not only did he preach and that there's only one way, not only did she teach her children, not only did she testify in that there's only one way and that to heaven, and that was through Jesus. You are telling folks that, ain't you?
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I tell you, if we just get plain and simple sometimes,
yeah.
All the time actually, because you know what we get into a lot of times, especially as Baptists. It's not even Christians, but it's Baptists. We want to start getting folk cleaned up first. We really do. I'm honest. I like to do that sometimes. You know, if we just tell folk that if they just do better and try harder, that it would be okay, but it won't be okay. Because, you know, the problem with a lot of folk is they've never trusted Jesus.
Amen.
I'm determined today that a lot of folks' problems is they just need a dose of salvation. That would fix a lot of things. But I want to leave behind the fact that I preach Jesus and Jesus only. I want to leave behind the fact that, listen, that I preached it all. Paul said in Acts 20, he said, "For I am not ashamed to declare unto you all the counsel of God." When I leave out of here, man, he sure could preach that book. He tried to get tuned up with God when he preached. She sure didn't care to tell others about what the Lord done for her. He didn't care in that to witness and testify about what God done for him. I was standing in the parking lot of Lowe's one time, run into another preacher I knowed, and me and him were standing out there talking just for a minute. Me and him was doing what we do best, talk. And he said, "I want you to help me pray about this right here." And I said, "Well, I'll help you pray about it." He said, "Let's pray right now."
Amen.
Man, we're standing in the parking lot at Lowe's. I said, "Sure." And we just stood out there in the middle and just prayed. At least that boy didn't care to pray, no matter where he was. If he needed to pray, he prayed. And I thought, man, what a wonderful testimony that is. I want to have testimony. I studied that book, learned that book, practiced this book. Just want to leave behind that folk knew what my standard was. What my standard was in my house. What my standard was at this church house right here. That book right there. I'm not concerned about what any other church is doing. I'm not. You watch churches today and they're all copying each other.
That's right.
I'm trying to stay away from it if you don't know the truth. I'm just interested in pleasing God. Number four, last of all. Not only was it that when I leave, I want folk to know the standard was this book right here, was the scripture. But number four, I want to leave behind some souls that I've won to God.
Amen.
How many are we going to leave behind because of us?
There you go. Amen. Come on.
How many? How many is going to look at everything that I talked about in number one, two, and three and then want what we got? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a time to take a stand. And there's a time that sometimes we got to be grave and sober, and sometimes that we've just got to be unmovable and unstoppable, and folk may criticize us for that and say you're stubborn and you just want it your way. Hey, sometimes my way is the right way.
Amen.
Amen. Because it lines up with the book.
Amen.
I'd like to think that all the time. I'm surprised my wife didn't shout right there. But some souls that I've won to the Lord. I remember I was sitting in the study looking over this morning, and I was thinking about a long time ago when I was a young preacher. And somewhere around my sixth message, I was up around Philadelphia, up there preaching. I was preaching out of Ephesians chapter 2. And if you know what Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about over there, he's talking about that middle wall of partition that's broken down. And he's talking about the Jew and the Gentile being put together in one body. I didn't know none of that. I didn't have a clue about that. But I did know what the scripture said right here. That that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I didn't know he was talking about the Gentiles right there. I was applying that to a lost soul, and boy, it works good too. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And I remember preaching that night on how that the Lord could save you and how that he could just wash you clean. And I remember, boy, we hadn't given the invitation. I believe we're still in the first verse. And that young lady came down and got saved. I ain't never forgot that. I ain't never forgot that. She was the first one that I can ever remember winning to the Lord. Now, listen, I don't know what God had been doing in her heart prior to that. All I'd done was got in on the harvest time. See, I may not have planted. Hey, I may have planted that seed, watered that seed, and harvested that seed all in one night, but I got a sneaking suspicion I hadn't. I believe somebody else had probably planted the seed, and somebody else had watered the seed, and old Mark just showed up at the right time to harvest that thing. Amen. But I ain't never forgot that. Thank God. And there's been some more on down through the years that we've got to win, and that to the Lord. Is there anybody saved because of you? Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their seed, bringing his sheaves with him. Got to go forth, got to sow, and he said weeping. Is any souls going to be left behind because of you? I'd like to think that some of my friends and some of my family and some folk that I worked with down through the years that I made a difference in their life, that they'd want to get saved. But you know what scares me worst of all? It's what it said in Judges 2. Joshua has died at this time. And then it went on to say, and also all that generation, talking about Joshua's generation, were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Man, I'd hate for that to be said about us. Man, if the Lord wrote just a book about Unity Baptist Church, what would it say about us? What would it say about us as a whole? What would it say about you as a person? There was another generation that rose up and didn't know the Lord. Man, I'd hate that. I'd hate to think that these little ones running around here right now wouldn't know the Lord because of us. Because of something we done or didn't do. What's going to be said about us? You say, well, you can't help what people say and what they think. Yeah, but what's going to be said about our work? They can't deny works. They're there. They can't be denied. What are we doing for the Lord? Let me tell you this. What you're going to leave behind, you're leaving behind right now.
Amen.
Because it can't be done once you leave out of here. Let's bow our heads this morning, cross the house.